something real sour to me. And I pray the Lord make it lemonade for you. There's something precious and sweet here. Exodus 4, beginning verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. He said, You go preach those things to him. Go show him that rod. It was made a serpent. Turn back into a rod. Go show him your hand. Touch your heart. Tell him you're just a leper. That's all you are. And show him that that water's been turned to blood. Show him blood. But he ain't going to listen to you. I read an article of Henry's, and I'm convinced it was from a message. Somebody just typed it out. The scriptures say, Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And that's so, but woe unto you if I preach it to you and you don't believe it. He said, People say it's against everything that I've heard. Well, of course it is. The Lord came and it was against theology, and it was against their traditions, and it was against everything they knew, and they killed him for it. He said, Well, that ain't what my mama believes. He said, Your mama wasn't sent to preach the gospel to you. I am. Woe unto Pharaoh. Well, I don't want to preach it. You go preach it anyway. The hardening and the softening, that's the Lord's business. The heart work, circumcision, it's his business. You go do it. Verse 22, And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel's my son. My firstborn. You go tell that king, all those people that represent my spiritual Israel, that's my firstborn. That's my son. And I say unto him, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, thy firstborn. The Lord told Moses, He said, Now go do these things. I've gave you this message to preach. I've told you what the outcome is going to be, and you go do it anyway. And all your rebuttals. Take Aaron with you. Now here's this paragraph I want us to look at. Here we go. He's going to go there. He's going to go to Egypt. He's going to perform these things. But this paragraph takes place first. These three verses. And I hope we can see this. This diamond has a lot of facets, okay? I won't take time to separate them for you, but you'll see. You'll see as you go. I want you to see Moses just as a man. This is a man that's had to... Moses is a picture of God the Father in this, and it's a picture of us. And Zipporah, that's a picture of us before and after. That's a picture of us as we come into this world, and it's a picture of us when God saves somebody. And this child, that's a picture of Christ. A lot of facets to this diamond. It's beautiful. I pray God make it sweet to us. Verse 24, Exodus 4, verse 24. And it came to pass... By the way, in the end, that the Lord met with him and sought to kill him. Moses is on his way. Did he live at that hotel, that inn? He was just passing through, wasn't he? We're just passing through this world. There's fancy words we can use to describe that to people and sound super religious. But we're just passing through. We're just here for a couple nights. And the Lord came to Moses, and the Lord let Moses know, I'm going to kill you. You ain't my buddy. We ain't friends. It ain't something likable about you. You deserve to die. You're disobedient. Does that need to take place? Is that different than what the whole world thinks? God just wringing his hands, wishing you'd come love him too? He came to Moses and said, I'm going to kill you. Came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah, his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. So he let him go. So God let Moses go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. I titled this, A Bloody Husband. What's pictured here in these three verses? What are we going to see here? What are we going to learn out of this? I always thought this was so bad. Didn't you? Moses wrote this, and this is a terribly embarrassing thing that took place in this paragraph. There was a deterred husband. One son was circumcised, and the other one wasn't, the baby. And Zipporah, this heathen wife he'd married, he chose. He entered into a covenant with. She didn't want anything to do with that. And he, just like his father Adam, gave in to his wife, disobeyed God willingly, and didn't have his son circumcised. And then this wife, what a mean woman. What a God-hating rebel. Lord said, circumcise your children. And she said, well, not this one. You got one, I get one. She's compromised. This may sound so sweet. There's so many things that are absolute poison that seem kind. The enemies of the gospel aren't carrying pitchforks or trying to set everything on fire outwardly. Well, can I just give you just a little bit of advice? Maybe think about this. Just a sweet little wisdom of man that touches. Tim James, there's a good article in that bulletin. Grab you one. Just a Scotia Levin put in. Embarrassing thing. And Moses wrote this. He told this on himself. Believers admit our sinfulness. We don't confess our sins one another. Let me tell you all the bad things I did. And then it gets into a contest of who did the worst things when I was younger. That's foolishness. But we know what we are. We do. Just like Onesimus, wasn't it? Paul wrote that letter to Philemon, and it says, speaking of Onesimus, it said, in times past, he was to you an unprofitable servant. But now he's profitable to me and to you. And it's that subscript at the end of that short letter to Philemon says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. Onesimus admitted it. Rahab admitted it. A thief admitted it. Every one of God's people did. Moses did. Moses wrote this. Moses admits it, but this isn't really just about Moses, is it? This ain't about him and his wife having a spat in a motel on the way to him to go deliver Israel. The Lord said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. He wrote of me. This is the circumcision of Christ in this. Turn over to Genesis 17. It ain't been too awful long we went through this. I know you remember, but it's good to look again. Genesis 17. This is where this token of circumcision was pictured. It's a token of that covenant that the Lord made. Genesis 17, look in verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore. I look forward to us getting the Lord giving the law. What's all the commandments say? Thou shalt. If the Lord shouted, he said, it shall rain tomorrow. Can we keep it from raining? If the Lord said, it shall be sunny, can man make it rain? There ain't enough witch doctors alive, are they? The Lord said to his people, you shall have no other gods. I'm going to take care of it. You shall never steal. That's wonderful, isn't it? He's made a covenant. He tells us it's a command. His command. He's going to do it. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is about the offspring of Abraham, isn't it? That's what the Jews thought. That's what that physical nation of Israel thought. But Paul told us plainly there in Galatians, he said, unto Abraham and his seed were this promises made. He saith not seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's who it's talking about. Verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. This isn't something physical that's done that makes someone saved or set apart. This is just a picture of it. It's just a token. This just reminds you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in your house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. If they're under your influence, you do it. Well, I mean, that's not my flesh and blood. You own them. You own them. We might look at that parable of the talents Wednesday. The Lord gave me 5 talents. There's 4 here today. One's in Utah. He said, you'd put them all in this. Teach them. He that's born in thy house, verse 13, he that's bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. He hath broken it. There's those that's born in the house. That's our brothers and sisters that are physical Israel. And we're the strangers bought in or bought from a stranger. We're the Gentiles. You know. But those that aren't circumcised, this token, the soul will be cut off from his people because he's broken the covenant. But remember, it's not just that inward or the outward thing. That's what Paul said in Romans 2. A Jew is not just one outwardly, neither is that circumcision. This circumcision that we're looking at here in Genesis 17, this thing that took place with Moses and his wife and his son, that's just the outward token. But the true circumcision, the true Jew is one, it's inwardly. Inwardly. This here is just a show. It's something to typify it, isn't it? He's a Jew, it's one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. But of God, if we could make somebody do something or do something for our children, say, look, we set them up for success. I wonder if we'd get the praise for that. But this is a heart work. It shows circumcision of the heart. Lord's covenant that he performs. And that way the man doesn't get praised, but God does. Man can circumcise outwardly, but who can do that in the heart? I can't. You can't. God must. Or in Jeremiah 4, it says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Plow yourselves. It says, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evils you're doing. The Lord said, there's going to be justice. Judgment's coming. He said, now go circumcise your hearts. Where does that leave us? Crying out, I can't. Lord, you must do it. You have to do it. He told him in Deuteronomy 10, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. You cut that flesh off. We can't escape this prism of flesh. We have to be rescued from it. He said, you cut it off. And be no more stiff-necked. How are we going to do that? We can't. He said in Deuteronomy 30, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. How am I going to love him with all my heart and all my soul? Well, he's going to circumcise your heart. He has to do that. We can't muster it up. That's works. It's his grace that does this. That flesh has to be put away. Everything born of Adam has to be separated. And thanks be to God, he don't do it all one time. We're on a cutting table, but it's his cutting table. He's the physician. And little by little, the things that we just cling to in this world are cut away. And it hurts, and there ain't no anesthetic to put on it. It stings or whatever. Until there's nothing left but what's just like Christ. That's called death, what man calls that. And that's being conformed to his image. That's to be the presence of God. Little by little. Strength goes away, or eyesight goes away, or hearing goes away, or family goes away. Cars rust, houses fall down, businesses crumble. And he teaches us through all that, circumcising our flesh, though there's a new creation in us, but showing him more and more, and the how valuable this earth is, which is nothing. It don't count for a hill of beans, does it? What is this sign? What's the sign of this work? Paul told us plainly there in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. How many days a week do you feel real spiritual? I'll tell you what, the believer says none. And those that think themselves something say, well, most days. 85% of the time, I don't know. No, we don't feel very spiritual, but we worship God in the Spirit. It's His Spirit. He gave it to us. There's a new creation in us. And we know who God is. We worship Him. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. How do I have the Spirit to worship God? Christ did it for us. He paid it all. And abounded toward us, sent the Comforter to us, and showed us these things. And we rejoice in them. We don't rejoice in all these other things in this world that keep us busy. We're thankful for them. We rejoice He gave them to us. We rejoice in Him, in a person. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Well, I believe the Lord this long, I think I can tough it out to the end. No, I can't. I know I can't. He has to do it. I have zero. If He took His hand off of me, I'd set this building on fire, and who knows what I'd do. We have no confidence. That's circumcision of the heart. God has to do that. That's His work. We can't do it. Now remember, we're talking about one evening at a motel on the way to Egypt, remember? Back in our text or in Exodus 4. I pray we can see. We know what circumcision is. That's a heart work, but this is the circumcision of Christ. He must have been separated in the flesh that bride might be covered in blood and the Father still remain. Well, what? It says the Lord's going to kill Moses. Well, didn't He just set him apart to use him? He said, you're going to deliver my people. I'm going to use you. And he said, well, I can't talk good. He said, I made the mouth. He said, well, I don't want to do it. He said, too bad. I'll send your brother with you. You're going. And then it says He's going to kill him. He has to be shown that the Son must die for Him to live. How are we going to live? An acceptable sacrifice must take place. Must take place. Verse 24 says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone to cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So the Lord let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art, because of the circumcision. The son must be wounded and bruised for Moses to live. Is it right for the Lord to kill Moses? Yeah. Yeah. Apart from the blood of the son, apart from that son being bruised. You see where I'm going with this? Remember Isaiah 53? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As it were, we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This Moses' son had to bleed. He had to be bruised. He had to be wounded for the Father to live. for Moses to live. That had to happen. And for our Heavenly Father, for His glory to remain and make a people just like Christ, Christ had to bleed. He had to be bruised. It pleased the Father to bruise Him. It pleased Him. This is the way we're going to do it. I'm going to be just and I'm going to justify. This had to take place. Who is going to wound and bruise the Son? We just looked at that in Acts 2, didn't we? A couple Wednesdays ago. Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The Father purposed all this to happen. This is His covenant. This is His doing. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Where is Zipporah? That's the bride, isn't it? Are we the bride? Are we the ones that rebelled? She cried out, she said, you're a bloody husband to me. She didn't want to do this in the first place. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't like your practices, and it's mean. I know a better way. I know what love is. And in that heart born of Adam, as every one of us willfully do, we cry out. It said there in Matthew 27, then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Give us Barabbas. Kill him. Look at verse 25. Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, A bloody husband art thou to me. Her son. I thought of how this likely physically played out. She didn't want Moses to circumcise this boy like the other boy. This is a baby. This is her youngest one, the sweet one. And that, all this circumcision, I'll let you do that with the oldest one, but then this is foolishness. It's foolish. Why would you wound your own child? This is foolishness, Moses. Why would Christ have to go to a cross because somebody so good as me is what natural man thinks, isn't it? The unregenerate thinks. It's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the blood, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Verse 26, so he let him go. Here was that bride. Didn't know what she's doing, but God purposed it. She's mad, she pitched a fit, and she said, fine, I'll do it. Many of the old writers think that Moses probably laid up sick. He was unable to. Like it wouldn't, that he was just, the Lord's going to give him a talking to, that he was stricken in the body, but and she had to do it. But she took that stone and she cut her son. Where'd the blood go? On her. Here she stands with blood on her, cursing her husband, saying, you're a bloody husband to me. So he let him go. When this took place, the Lord let Moses go. I saw the blood. I passed over you. You ain't going to die now. This is precious. You ready? Verse 26. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Didn't she just say that? Well, no, then. Something took place. God let Moses go. When we're made to see that the only way we are going to be let go, the only way we can live is for another to die in our place, we cry out again, don't we? And it sounds just the same. There's so many things. You hear religious people, people that don't know God, but they're playing church as hard as they can do it with really good props and putting their money where their mouth is. They say the same things believers say. They use the same words. I preached on that not too long ago. Say what you mean. And people say, oh, well, I believe in a sovereign God, but they don't think God can do anything unless they let him. Well, that our terms don't match up. That ain't right. But so it doesn't really matter what's so much says, who says it and how they say it, right? Some people say something to me, I get pretty mad. If somebody else, one of y'all said it, I'd be fine with it. She said something different. Just like before, she cried, His blood be on us and our children. There was a time we cried that. Arr, through gritted teeth. And then after the Lord shows you Christ and shows you what He did, do you know what you cry out? Lord, let his blood be on me and my children. Save my children, Lord. Save me. Save those that I love. Turn over to Hebrews 9. I'll hurry. Hebrews 9. Verse 19. This is a little further in Exodus, but I think you'll see the point here. Hebrews 9, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both on the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Blood has to be shed. It's either going to be ours or it's going to be our substitutes. Christ bled and died for his sheep, for his people. And that means there's now no condemnation to us, which are in him. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. This is always a token, just like that circumcision, the spreading of the blood and the sacrifices of bulls and goats and all that. It just pointed to Christ. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, it's just a picture, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. John told us, he said, this is the love of God manifest towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He said, herein is love. We talk about love. He said, I'll tell you what love is. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And that love did something. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent him to be that accepted bloody sacrifice. We's going to die. He had to. And he came and he put it away once. He was sacrificed once. Turn over to Hebrews 10 and we'll close. Look here at verse 16. Page over. Hebrews 10, 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. Remember he said that heart work he was going to perform, that circumcision of the heart? He said, I'm going to put that in your heart. And in their minds will I write them. Well, he circumcised my heart and it's healed up good and I'll go on about my day. I'll worry about these things next Sunday, the next Lord's Day. I got a lot of stuff going on the next 6 days. He said, oh, no. My children, he goes, I'm going to write it in their minds. You're going to think about this morning, noon, and night. You'll dream about it. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. What are we going to do? Believe him. He said it. It's done. It's finished. It ain't complicated. It's just impossible with man. Do I want to sin anymore? No. I despise it. Now I know what it is. It's against God. I know who it's against. It's unbelief. That's horrible. What is wrong with me? But I don't have to make penance, or I don't have to make a payment for it. It's done. It's over. No more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, what's the result of that? Lay around, cry on your couch, wet your couch all day long, day in and day out, cry about it? No. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he's consecrated for us. Now we can come to that throne of grace. Now we can pray to our Father. He told us to pray to the Father. Here's the pattern of it. Pray to him. We can now. Which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He was separated. That just as we have to have that circumcision, the token, that useless flesh is separated from the body. He had to be separated from God. God turned his back on God. That's what our blood ain't worth nothing. That's what it takes. Eternity won't pay. Won't pay for our sin. He had to be separated. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Oh, let us cling to him with a true heart, a heart that he's circumcised, a heart that he's given, in full assurance of faith, believing everything he says. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Lord, keep us. You've done this. Circumcise our hearts and show us that the blood of Christ and what that has accomplished, and that it's done. The work's done. And I don't have to add nothing to it. And make us thankful. And Lord, make your people live. Live, dry bones, live. They'll cry out, oh, we're going to die. No, you was just dead. You're alive now. You wouldn't think and worry about dying. And then go about our way. Moses still got something to do. Don't remember, this is just a night at a motel. He's on his way to Egypt. So are we. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, put your blood on us, blood of our Redeemer. And wash us in his blood and wash our children. Oh, teach them things too. Our need, we're going to die. We're going to face a holy God we've offended. One must stand in our place. Lord, pass over us as you see that blood. Thank you for this redemption. Thank you for your covenant that you made in Christ. Thank you for putting us in him. Lord, make the hearts of your people rejoice for this. Make these things sweet to us. Be with our brethren here that's suffering, and our brethren all over. Those are heavy hearts and trouble in the body. And Lord, use those things to make us see Christ again today. It's because of him we ask these things. Amen. All right, brethren, we'll meet back at 10:30. Thank you.